Hello and welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on Season 4, Episode 9, The My Two Dads.
I can't believe you have turned up to this recording dressed as our one and only icon, Julie Cooper. It's not Juicy Couture, but it's pretty damn close.
Yeah, it's a little Nike velour two-piece.
I can only see the top half. Yeah. Ooh-wee! Look at her. Who does she think she is? Who is she?
Yeah,
Who is she?
Ultimate comfies.
They look exceptionally comfortable. And Julie Cooper would be proud.
She would, wouldn't she?
I'm definitely sporting a Kirsten in rehab look right now.
not at all. You look great, pal.
Dress and gown and wet hair, it's the way forward.
Love it.
I feel like the My Two Dads is a reference to an American thing that we don't know about.
Yeah, that does sound like,
should we look at it on the internet?
Oh yeah, it is. It's a TV show from the 80s. It's a sitcom, 3 seasons. My Two Dads.
Sounds great. I wonder how that went in the 80s. Probably quite different to
maybe
this one. I'm going to go out there and say probably quite different to Luke's situation with two dads too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, this is not my favourite episode of the OC ever.
Nah. It was a bit pedestrian, wasn't it?
All filler, no killer.
Yeah.
My humble opinion. Do you know what we haven't done that we probably should do? And since we've just started on like a totally negative, like neggy Nancy start to this episode, we should probably introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Heather. I've never seen the OC. I'm normally a lot bubblier than that, but I mean, this episode will be fun. We will make it fun.
We'll make it fun.
And over there in her velour tracksuit is
Jane. And I have seen the OC various times over.
I actually feel really smug because I've seen this episode twice now.
Oh,
for once in my goddamn life, mainly because I did that thing where I started watching it and I was trying to slyly watch it while I was working, like right at the end of the day. It was like the end of the day and I was like, oh, like there's nothing going on, I could definitely crack it in a wee half hour of the OC. And somebody, how the audacity, interrupted me and asked me to do work stuff, and I was like, can you not see I'm busy, like doing non-work stuff, leave me alone. But you know, sometimes you have to do your day job, guys. That's life. Shall we dive in?
Yeah. So previously on the OC, Summer thought she was up the duff.
She did, and because of that, Seth proposed. So now they are engaged.
Yeah, logical path there.
Sure. Frank Atwood is in the picture. He kind of came into, you know, the core group's lives through Bullet, who owns Julie and Kirsten's company. And he is pretending to be somebody else because he's now working for Julie and Kirsten via Bullet.
Yeah.
Julie knows it's him, though. Yep. And Sandy knows it's him through his own detective work, because Sandy, nothing gets by Sandy Cohen.
No, it really doesn't. So he's trying to get was almost blackmailing Julie to get the intel on the Coens to get close to Ryan by sort of cooking the books for her male prostitution ring.
Oh yeah.
Let's not forget that.
I had completely forgotten about that right until they mentioned it at the end. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that wild storyline.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we come to it. But I found Julie and Frank in this episode all very weird. Like, it felt like there should have been an episode in between, if that makes sense. I felt they were way closer.
Mm-hmm. I felt like there was missing an episode or missing a couple of scenes.
Yeah, and I honestly did think, have I missed something? But yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
but we did. We had some flashbacks of Ryan with his mum, Dawn, learning that Frank had been arrested, just to sort of remind us of his dodgy past. And then, Seth and Summer are engaged.
You and me and our normal wedding. Never has a wedding sound so unenthused before.
Oh gosh, it's awful, isn't it?
We talked about this quite a lot in the last episode, and I don't want to dwell on the fact that they are too young to be getting engaged, because I feel I sound really old when I say that. Like, you're too young for that. You've not even lived.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm turning into my mother. So let's, that is the last I will say, they're too young to be getting engaged. Yeah. Where this storyline is going, all I have to say in the matter is the way they are acting thus proves they're too young to be getting engaged, because they're acting like fucking idiots. Sorry if you have children in the car, but they are.
They are. So we open up with Summer lying in bed, sort of staring at this ugly engagement ring that she's been gifted by Seth.
It's so fugly. You posted on the socials about it today, and I think I'd like repressed it. I think I'd repressed what it looked like.
It's very offensive.
It's horrific.
So Summer's sort of contemplating her life as a married woman. And meanwhile, Taylor is making some resolutions, which involve stop mooching off other people's families, get a job, take some calcium supplements, and plan Summer's wedding.
Yes. And Taylor very rightly is like, oh my God, why didn't you tell me? And Summer, like, Summer's tone in this opening sequence is just so good. She's just like, oh, I was in denial. Like, it's just like old school melancholy. Like, it's so, so funny. And she very openly, honestly, is like, someday I want to get married. And yes, I do think it will be with Seth, but not right now.
Yep. And then classic, we, as so often is the case, we then get things from the boy's point of view. Seth's in bed, Ryan comes in and asks him, are you sick? And Seth is sick, but he is sick of being engaged. And we can tell that obviously regrets it. And Ryan sort of hits out with, acting impulsively when your girlfriend is pregnant, like, know a bit about that. But yeah, it's just like, again, it's not rocket science. Don't get married if you don't want to.
Yeah. And he says all this stuff like, oh, I was trying to be a man and I can't ask and then take it back. But like, relationships are built on trust and honesty. And like, I think she'd be more upset if she found out 20, 30 years down the line, by the way, when I asked you to get married, I really didn't mean it. And I
wasn't that,
like, I wasn't that funny. Like, I would be much more livid at that than finding out now.
Yeah. And Ryan sort of tries to scare him with Kirsten and Sandy and what they would think about it. But yeah, okay, it's just, I really didn't enjoy this sort of storyline. And it's not even really resolved by the end, is it?
No. See, when we got to the end and there wasn't a conclusion, I was livid.
Yeah. Here we go.
Really, really livid. I find it really frustrating when they draw out storylines that are shit way too long.
Johnny
per exemple. Even, like, the Oliver storyline could have gone another episode or two. It could have eked out a little bit more. Even, like, the Frank storyline, he's only been in it for two episodes.
Yeah, that's they've wild. Totally ramped that up, haven't they?
I would have much rather sacrificed the Seth and Summer storyline, got another episode, just Julie and Frank, and then had this episode without Seth and Summer.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done, Josh. If that was me, that's what I would have done.
Just saying. But yeah, Ryan basically tells Taylor that Seth doesn't want to get married. And so they sort of call each other out. They know, they both end up knowing that neither wants to do it, but they're both too stubborn to call it off.
When Seth and Summer, they did that kind of like real kind of like photo cut. I don't know the technical name for it, but it's very like, it's very stark cuts between them. It's sitting in different positions on the bench, on the pier.
Uh-huh.
For some weird reason, it really reminded me of 500 Days of Summer. Is Summer just giving me like heavy Zooey Deschanel vibes? Is that what it is?
Maybe. I've actually been to that bench.
I know, I saw. I liked it on the internet when it happened.
Yeah, I think someone stole it. It's no longer there, but
What?
Yeah.
Why do people have to ruin it for the rest of us?
Yeah, the $1 million question.
Let's not even talk about the petrol crisis that's currently going on in the UK.
Oh.
So Summer and Seth come over to Ryan and Taylor, and instead of being like, we've talked about it and we're not going to get married because that is the sensible and logical thing to do, they come back and like, we've decided, Ryan, will you be my best man? Yeah. Taylor, will you be my maid of honour? And then Seth says to Ryan, this is bad. Yeah. This is so bad.
So bad.
It is. And thus will be the continuing theme of this episode.
Oh, yeah. And then we go into the opening credits.
I feel we need to address something early on. In the opening credits, mm-hmm. Chris Brown is guest starring in this week's episode. Now, I feel the vast majority of listeners to our podcast will know about the court cases. That Chris Brown has appeared in regarding domestic abuse and violence towards women. I feel our podcast is not the place to discuss that, Jane.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I agree. I think we could end up getting very angry and down a rabbit hole. So let's just, we're acknowledging
he's
it.
He's in the show. He's in the show. We're going to treat him as a character. We're not going to, we're not even going to acknowledge him as anything other than a character. And I think that's okay. There's loads of I'm sure there's loads of podcasts about it, but I'm sure if you give it a quick Google, if you're sitting there going, what the hell are these crazy Scottish ladies talking about, give it a quick Google, Chris Brown and Rihanna, you'll find it dead quick.
We open from one shifty character to another.
We've seamlessly
shifty was probably too mild a word. Anyway, we've got Sandy at the pier meeting Frank, and he hits out with the opening line, so you're Ryan's father, and Frank's like, oh, I was about to ask you the same thing. And it's a really short scene, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's, they do a really nice device here where Julie and Kirsten and Sandy and Frank are having the same conversation, but they almost like answer each other's questions. Yeah. It's something Lucy's done before, and I really like it as like a way to get the conversation done, but in quite a fun and quick way. But ultimately, Sandy's kind of grilling Frank.
Yeah.
Being like, why are you here? Why didn't you just come and ring our doorbell? What you doing, mate? Basically. Yeah. And then Julie, who is Team Frank, heavy Team Frank. She's got the t-shirt.
Yeah. It's so weird.
It's so... But then do you think this is because he's kind of blackmailing her? Or do you think he's just got her under... Like, not
I think
under
she
thumb,
just really fancies him.
I mean, he's a handsome guy. I'll give him that.
But, like, I don't think he's particularly charismatic or...
charming.
I honestly felt that there was, like, a whole episode where Julie and Frank have gone and had some bonding time and... You know, because she's like so Team Frank. It didn't feel very organic. I was like, have I missed something here?
Do you know the other important thing is that Frank is not, which is really in Julie's wheelhouse of what she looks for in a man. Rich. He's really not rich.
Mm-mm.
Weird. Just a weird setup. Anyway, she's hardcore Team Frank. Sandy is not.
Oh gosh, yeah. But we find out that he's been 8 years sober. He's sort of turned things around. He's been he's been out of jail for 6 weeks?
Yeah, so he's pretty fresh.
Yeah, and Sandy's a bit like, oh, well, why now? And then Julie's just like, oh, I think he's changed. And it's like, again, it just doesn't feel right. But he basically wants a shot at having a relationship with Ryan, but he wants Sandy's blessing and Sandy's help, really.
Yeah. And Sandy's pretty decent because he's like, okay, I'll ask him, which Sandy doesn't have to do. Yeah. Like, he is Ryan's legal guardian now. Mm-hmm. Like, he's under no obligation to do that. But Sandy's a good guy. He does the right thing.
Yep. And then we're back at the pier with Seth and Ryan. And Seth sort of chickened out of calling off the wedding. And Ryan's look.
Quelle surprise.
Yeah. This is ridiculous. Summer feels the same way. Seth is just... He's just such a wee guy, isn't he? He's like, oh, and he's basically, they're going to see who cracks first. It's going to smoke her out.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand this storyline. However, do you know what I was thinking about this episode?
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that Seth and Summer were the key characters. the key character. Like, Seth was the main focus of the OC.
Oh, really? Like, do you mean from like, when you started watching it, or just like back in the day when you saw...
Back in the day when people were talking about the OC, and even when I first started watching it, I was like, oh yeah, all the storylines are kind of revolving around Seth. But this series is really hammering at home that Ryan, key protagonist.
Yeah.
He's the main man. And I really enjoy that he is very sympathetic towards the audience's frustration, just being like,
yeah,
what are you doing, man? Just tell her.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Seth's grand plan. We then cut over to Harbour, where Caitlin and her fellow students are reading Call of the Wild. And Caitlin's just been too cool for school, basically, isn't she?
I feel as a teacher, this will have annoyed you.
Yeah, but you loved it.
Annoyed me. I thought it was hilarious.
And what's she like? That would be me. And I just go,
I mean, that would never be me. I'm far too much of a goody two-shoes to do that. But no, I appreciated her chutzpah.
Oh, I've just written, ugh, smart arse.
What would you do? What would you do if you were the teacher in that situation and somebody came up to do their book report and was like, I really just tried to see it through the dog's eyes. Woof, 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 woof.
I would just tell them to sit down. Like, I wouldn't acknowledge it. I probably wouldn't even get them to stay behind, like, to get them into trouble. I think I'd just be like, right, sit down, shut up. That wasn't funny. And if that's your level of humour, then, yeah, a lot of eye rolling.
strong. Quite similar to what the teacher does in this situation, actually. Yeah. She's pretty chill about it. If that was me, like, bearing in mind, I don't teach children, and probably for a good reason, I would have been like, get the fuck out, you little shit. Who think you are? Probably not allowed to do that, are you?
Nah, they don't recommend it. but yeah, she gets kept behind and she gets an A for originality, but it turns out that she is failing. And shock horror, the teacher wants Chris Brown to shoot her, to help her.
AKA Will.
Will. You have not even written down his name.
Ugh, him. Will is tasked with helping her, and Caitlin has one more shot. One more shot to get it right. Otherwise, she is in a deep doo-doo.
Yeah. We're at the tackle place, and Sandy visits Ryan to casually break the news that his dad's back in town. And Ryan does look pretty shell-shocked.
Yeah. When he does kind of come through too, though, he's like, it's like my dad is from another life. And yeah. I honestly think Ryan has been getting therapy on the down low, and they've just not been showing it in the show. Because nobody would be that chill about that.
Yeah, he's really chill. And yeah, but he is like, look, I don't want to see him. I might later, but not now. And Sandy's like, that's totally fine. You're completely within your rights to feel that way. And then Sandy was just a bit like, Ryan was like, look, how did he seem? And Sandy's like, well, good. And yeah, you can see Ryan's just really still like processing the shock of this, isn't he?
Yeah. Over to Frank, who's getting a call from Sandy breaking the news that Ryan don't want nothing to do with them. Yep. And weirdly, him and Julie are having lunch.
This doesn't make any sense. They're Frank's obviously pretty gutted, but again, why is he having breakfast, lunch, whatever it is with Julie? It just doesn't tie in.
But we'll go down this rabbit hole, guys. We'll just do what the book tells
us. We'll keep going with it. Yeah. Meanwhile, Seth has got Summer kitted out with some cookbooks and cooking classes, which really infuriated me to begin with. But then you can see he's just trying to smoke it out.
Yeah. How offended on scale of 1 to 10 would you be if Stephen got you cooking classes? You're quite a good cook, though, aren't you?
I'm all right. He does the cooking these days because we're very different in our methods to cooking. Like,
okay.
I put a pizza in the oven, just like look at it to see when it's ready. You know, and Stephen's like got 5 timers going and following the recipe to like the very last details. So he's more, and we got really into like, I think we had every food box, like Gusto, HelloFresh, Mindful Chef. So yeah, he loves all that. So I'm like, that's fine.
I think I'm a Stephen in this situation. Yeah. I enjoy a recipe. I don't like anything too complicated. I'm fine with a bit of prep. I don't mind like slow and steady, but like if the recipe tells me to do it, I'll do it, because recipes are made by people smarter than me, people better with food than me, and I will follow that to the bitter end. Ali, on the other hand, goes rogue, and it kills my soul. He puts peas in everything.
Oh, everything that's, you can that's an unusual one.
It's so weird. Like, I think we were maybe like 6 months in and I had to be like, you need to stop putting peas and shit, man. Like, it's so weird. Anyway, I don't even know how we got... Oh, Seth got summer cooking lessons. Yeah. That's why. She'll be a me and Stephen. She can join our gang.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just... I think he's just been sneaky and cowardly and just... Yeah, it's this daft game of chicken.
It is a daft game of chicken. I also don't like the fact that she has to convert to Judaism.
Yeah.
That's quite a big thing to just like force on someone.
Well, remember they tried to make Ryan just to get some money at a big party?
Oh my God, remember that?
Yeah. Chrismica, bar mitzvica.
That was so long
managed
ago.
Managed to say that, yeah. Oh.
God,
but yeah, again,
so
problematic. But yeah, if they're going to go down that road, then Summer is going to be a bridezilla.
Yes. Yeah. She turns up to Taylor, dumps her Torah on the bed, and is just, yeah, she says exactly that. She's going to ramp it up and bridezilla the schnitzel out of this situation.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of a good Jewish word instead of schnitzel, but I couldn't think of one.
I don't know.
He's going to bridezilla the schmuck.
Yeah. Okay.
That'll do. And then she's going to have some nash.
Yeah. But yeah, we are over at Newmatch and Frank isn't leaving. Julie's crying because Frank's apparently dying. And I've just written here, like, is JC in love?
Did you actually just write a poem for your link?
It was unintentional. yeah, God. I can't be held responsible for notes that I've written over like a week ago.
Well, I for one thoroughly enjoyed that.
Okay.
that's actually what you could do for the final episode at some point, just drop in a little haiku for me. Yeah, that would be great.
Love it.
I do not believe for one bloody minute that Frank has cancer. Not for 1 minute.
Nuh-uh.
I think I've actually written Frank's dying, is he I? If you're not Scottish, I don't even know how to describe it's like REI, like did you?
Yeah. It's when you don't believe someone.
But it's also quite good because sometimes they won't get it and they'll be like blabbing away. Did you? And they'll be like, oh yeah. And you'll be like, whatever. This is heavy did you?
Yeah.
Energy.
So yeah, Julie is very upset for someone
she's just met.
She's just met and is blackmailing her. But anyway, we then fast forward to the next morning and we've got Kirsty and Sandy sort of discussing the situation, and Kirsty feels bad that they haven't told Ryan, but Sandy's on him. Sandy thinks he's lying.
Yeah, like heavy things. And Sandy's normally quite good at being quite objective and being like, let's find out the truth before I make any harsh decisions. But he is very like, emotional in this he's very much just like no, hard no. And Kirsty points that out, doesn't she? Is it in this scene that she points it out? Yeah. She's like, is this personal? And he's like, of course it's personal, I'm his dad. And it's that whole like macho bravo like no, I'm his dad.
Yeah, it is. It's very much, and I think as well Ryan is in a good place all things considered, and I think it must just be like, how much more can this kid take, you know?
Yeah. However, Kirsten does bring up a really good point. She says, what if he's not lying and Ryan finds out that we knew that he was sick? And Kirsten is like, just let me talk to him. Let me tell him.
Yes.
Shalom, Cohen.
So we're at a comic book store and Summer has brought a nice booklet for Seth detailing the four C's. So the carrot, clarity, colour and cut. So she wants a diamond.
I don't blame her. That ring is heinous.
Yeah. So nothing less than 2 carats. And he's like, oh yeah, 3. I'm like, yeah, Seth clearly has no idea about diamonds at all. But yep, she gives Seth pancakes, the rabbit, not the snack. And she wants to give him practice at looking after something small and vulnerable.
Yes. Yes. And then does she not start like quoting Yeats and Shelley as inspiration for their vows?
Yeah, their vows. Well, I think Seth's like, oh, I was thinking Yeats or Shelley. And then she's like, oh, I was thinking Dr. Seuss.
Oh, yeah, that was it. To be honest, I've swiftly written down after that, this is stupid.
It's so
because
stupid.
Because it is. It's so stupid. It's yeah. also just like, it's like, it is kids pretending they know what weddings are and marriages. Yeah.
Do you know what else is stupid? Chris Brown playing in the school band.
I did enjoy her being Caitlin calling him Little Drummer Little Boy. Drummer that boy. Made me quite laugh quite a lot.
Also, did you notice what the teacher was called?
No.
Miss Tidy. You can't be a teacher and be called Miss Tidy. So for our non-Glaswegian Scottish listeners, Tidy is a word that we would use to... I feel it was probably quite about this time, about OC time, yeah. and it was really involved. Yeah. It basically means, like, you're hot. Like good looking, yeah. attractive. That's so if your tidy. Teacher was
it's like tidy,
yeah.
tasty, like
yeah.
yeah, yeah, that's tidy.
Miss Tidy, that's like a teacher's nightmare.
That is a nightmare. We used to have a teacher called Miss Small who was incredibly small, and that was hilarious. I can't imagine, and it would work either way because if she was hot, it'd be bad, but if she wasn't hot, it'd be, yeah. what a conundrum.
I know.
I'm really concerned about Miss Tidy.
Yeah, I'm just Miss because. The rest of it's too long to bother with.
You're safe.
What do the kids call you in school? They call you like Miss McGarrigle or Mr. McGarrigle Kelly, or is it they just call me Miss? That's
Miss. Yeah, less complicated Miss. That way.
Yeah. But yeah, Sandy's at work and Kirsten has brought some food as a little sort of peace offer, and she's like, look, I don't want to fight. But yeah, this is a tricky situation. And then right. This would not happen. Sandy has called prison to look into his health records. So many issues there.
Yeah. GDPR was clearly not a thing yeah. in 2008, are we at now?
Yeah, I think thereabouts. But yeah, it's just, and again, it's like when Sandy does stuff like this that's so questionable.
Yeah.
It's like yeah. Sandy being quite happy for the Christmas bar mitzvah to go ahead.
Yeah. It's like, just really out of character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although we did see him in the alternative universe, maybe mm-hmm. he's got it in him.
Maybe. We're over at the tackle place and Taylor's turned up to see Ryan, and Kirsten also wants to talk to him. And Taylor's, as usual, sort of another wisdom, she thinks that he should see his dad, possibly for some closure. And she talks about her own relationship with her own father. He lives in San Diego with his new family. And he's like, she's just like, look, it's easy to ignore your kids. Yeah. But it's difficult to try and strike up a relationship with them, you know? So it's given, I think it's a wee bit of food for thought.
She also makes a really valid point where he says, you don't know my father. Mm-hmm. And then she turns around and she's like, well, you haven't seen him since you were a kid. So you don't really know him
either.
Yeah,
you don't know him either.
Which I think is a really, I feel like he really takes this advice on
yeah.
later on. I feel like it's quite important.
Yeah.
Anyway, Summer is learning Hebrew yes. and making brisket.
Yeah. She's practicing the Hebrew alphabet with Julie and cooking some brisket. And Julie's like, what's going on? Is this a dare?
Julie's response here is like peak cool mum.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I just... There was a girl at my school, Katie, and her mum was just always so cool.
Yeah.
And this is exactly how I imagine she would have responded to such a situation.
Yeah, and but I just love as well when Summer reveals the engagement, Julie's just like, are you pregnant? She's like, no. And she's like, well, why are you doing this?
And that, like, Julie's honestly, it's one of my favourite things about her. And she doesn't try and hide the fact she was like, I only got married because I was pregnant. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? You're far too young for this.
Yeah. So Summer sort of explains that it's just this weird power struggle between them. And yeah, doesn't seem to deter her.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with this dialogue between the two of them. I really like it when Julie and Summer interact.
Great.
It's really good. In the same way that I really like it when Ryan and Sandy engage. I just mm-hmm. think they're all good actors and kind of yeah. are really good at bouncing off each other. But it suddenly dawns on Summer that manipulating the opposite sex, why didn't I come to you earlier? Because obviously this is Julie's area of expertise.
Yes.
And Julie is very complimented and is like, why, thank you, Summer. And her advice to her is to take it up a notch. Get some chutzpah about you.
Yeah. Kirsten is then meets Frank and she sort of apologises for Sandy. Ryan's also there, so she's brought Ryan to come and meet him.
I don't understand this. What I really hope has happened is that Kirsten has spoken to Ryan on the phone, yep, and Ryan has agreed to turn up. What I really hope hasn't happened is that she has just blindsided him, yeah, by bringing his dad along to this meeting.
Yeah.
I feel really like it wasn't not clear, was, yeah, it?
No, do you not feel, I just feel in this episode that they spent far too much time on this shit Seth and Summer stuff when the time could have been spent elsewhere.
Answer the good questions. Answer the questions we want.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have heard what Ryan and Frank spoke about.
Mm-hmm. But Ryan's like, do you want to go and get some coffee? And I'm like, why are you getting coffee at night time? But anyway, yeah. They
maybe
go
it's
off.
Decaf, Jane.
Yeah, maybe. What is the point? What is even the point of decaf coffee? Anyway.
Jane, I have to tell you.
Are you a decaf coffee drinker? No.
No, but I need to become one.
Why?
So I've been getting migraines.
Oh, hey,
and then
there.
The doctor's like, you need to cut down your caffeine intake. It's really sad. I'm really sad about it.
That is sad. Okay, so right, I take it back.
I'm trying to get down to two a day with the ultimate goal, getting down to one a day. And I don't know how I'm going to get through this difficult time. So if everyone could just send me their thoughts and prayers in this caffeine cut down lifestyle that's been forced upon me.
Yeah, if Heather starts, like, there's long pauses and Heather's just, like, face planted the laptop. Yeah, she's just having a... You'll know why. But yeah, the next day we're back at the tackle place and Ryan and Seth are sort of having a debrief. And Seth's like, what did you talk about? And Ryan's like, oh, it was fine. We talked about random stuff and he's coming over for dinner tonight. Seth and Summer can't make it because they've got wedding shit or whatever to do.
They need to build their hoopah.
Yeah. And
do you know what that is?
No, me neither.
Any Jewish listeners who would like to enlighten us, I would love to know. Please do let us know.
Yeah. But yep, Summer comes along and she's carrying pancakes in, would you say, a papoose? Is that what they're called?
Like a little body sling.
Yeah. So yeah, she's got pancakes there. I've not even written anything else down for this scene, have you?
The only thing to add to that scene is Ryan makes a really important call and says to... Ryan makes a really important note saying to Seth, you can stop this crazy train anytime you want.
Yeah.
Like, you're both acting insane and one of you needs to hit the brakes because only one of you can. This is wild.
Totally. And then we're back in Harbour and Chris Brown, has basically, instead of Caitlin getting tutored by him, she's basically got him to do her homework to write her speech.
Yeah.
And the twins are actually raging. They are affronted. That Caitlin's got somebody else doing her homework. But it turns out that he's basically just played at our own game, hasn't he? And he's just written woof.
Woof, 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 woof.
So, yeah, then she has to like make up her own speech on the spot. And it basically seems to be about her own life. Buck's story is a metaphor for being a teenager. It's actually quite poetic. She does well.
Yeah. The more you go through, the more you want to be alone.
Yeah.
I agree with the twins. That is pretty deep.
Yeah. And then we jump back to the Coens, don't we? So Taylor and Kirsten are prepping dinner and Taylor's sort of going into meltdown mode, isn't she?
Why is Taylor making it all about her? Literally nobody cares about you in the storyline. Chill out.
Can I also just make the point that Taylor says, let's make fish. Everyone like fish. No, it's Kirsten. No one, not everyone. I do not like fish.
I hate fish.
I hate fish. Oh my God, do you hate fish too?
Categorically hate fish.
Brilliant. I never really meet many fish haters. People always think I'm weird, but okay, that's good to know.
No, fish is gross. Fish and seafood. Can't hack it. Freaks me out.
It's the smell.
It's like, it's the smell, it's the texture. Like, see when people are like, oh my God, like mussels and like oysters. Oh, they're so really refined. Why would I want to eat something that looks like bogies and smells like death?
Smells terrible, really slimy. Yeah, they're just not for me. My taste and smell is slowly returning.
Praise be. If you missed last week's episode, Jane had the Rona.
Yeah, had the COVID. But what it did allow me to do was drink margaritas on Friday night. Like the idea of them, hate the taste of them, couldn't taste them.
I think that's what I would do. Win-win. Just get all the gross cocktails that I never have because I don't like them.
Bloody Mary. I don't think I could do a Bloody Mary because it would still be the texture of like bolognese in a glass.
it's exactly that. It's like, why would you drink cold tomato, a cold tin of tomatoes with some Tabasco in it? It's disgusting. No. Blah, 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 blah. Right, we need to move on, mummy.
Sorry, I know.
I'm getting a bit sweaty.
But yeah, Taylor's making it all about her, but she says that this is her first real Ryan situation. And then she's sort of like, she hugs Kirsten. She's like, thanks, Keith. Great, you're going to be a great mother-in-law. And I think Kirsten's just like, oh, Jesus, here we go.
Exactly, exactly. I don't blame her for being nervous. I don't blame her for being nervous for two reasons. One, yeah. Meeting your partner's family mm-hmm. is intense.
Yeah.
Meeting your partner's family, of which he was in prison 6 weeks ago, probably a lot going on there. It's like you'd be preparing yourself pretty wittingly for a stressful situation. Yeah, yeah.
Sandy seems quite raging, even though it has been Ryan's idea. He was the one that suggested that he come for dinner.
I think if it turned out that it was Kirsten whose idea it was, he would have continued to be raging.
Yeah.
But when he finds out it was Ryan's idea, he does soften, but only so much, where he's like, I will put on my party face, but I don't want to go to the party.
Because I think he sort of brings up, well, look what happened when Dawn and Trey came to visit. And he just sort of makes the point that Ryan's been through hell and that he's like, there's just something about this guy. Like, I'll try my best, but he's not, he's just got a bad feeling about him.
Yeah. Kirsten makes a very astute point where she's like, your relationship with Ryan is your relationship with Ryan and nothing's going to change that. And I think that was quite important. But I also feel like that's quite a good excuse for Sandy acting the way he's acting. I don't think that is the reason he's acting like this. Like, the reason he's acting like this is because the guy has a list of previous crimes as long as my arm.
Yeah.
And when you have a bad vibe about someone, it's really difficult to be like, because you want to be like, well, you know, people can change. Mm-hmm. But if you just have a bad vibe for someone and you can't put your finger on why, it's really difficult. So it's tough. I feel for him.
But yeah, we're at the yacht club and Julie's with Frank and he's really nervous and he's like, oh, jacket or no jacket. And Julie's sort of giving him this pep talk, isn't she? Yeah. And she's like, phone me, let me know how it is. And he's just like, Julie, thank you. And yeah, they're just best pals.
I wrote down here 100% shagging.
Yeah.
I thought that's how the episode was going to end.
Yeah. Their exchanges suggest a level of intimacy that we haven't seen. Like, you'd think they've already been shagging.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. Right, let's just talk about Pancake's jumper. That's all I want to talk about. It also frustrates me because they don't reference the fact Pancake's is wearing a little a blue silk jumpery thing. I'm like, it's so cute.
Very cute.
Did Seth get him that? Did Summer get him that?
Where did it come from?
I have questions. Whose idea was it to put it on? Because he didn't have it on earlier.
But basically, Summer's changed her mind and Seth thinks, brilliant, I've won. But it turns out that she wants a small wedding and he's like, oh, great, just the family. And she's like, no, let's go to Vegas now. And Seth just starts making up all these excuses, like he has to go and change his underwear. And again, okay, I'm just not here for this. I couldn't really care about this at all.
It is just really frustrating.
Shit.
It's just really frustrating. I just think as well, like, I just don't believe teenagers would keep this going this long.
Nah.
Like, I just feel they would have caved long before they did. Anyway, she says, I'm marrying you tonight. And he says, not if I marry you first. And I just, neither of them sound excited, look excited. At what point would you not be like, you don't look excited?
Yeah.
It's just stupid. It's just stupid.
We then cut to the Coens. So we've got Taylor, Sandy, Kirsten, Frank, Ryan, and they're chatting about Berkeley. And he's just like, oh, I hear that's a good school. And then, oh, this is quite awkward. I feel they do it quite well. But Kirsten's just a bit like, oh, Sandy and I met there. It's really important to us. And it's all, I guess, these traditions and experiences that they've shared as a family that must be really difficult for like any parent to hear that, you know.
It doesn't help that Frank then says, oh, a family tradition, and everyone's just like, nobody even laughs. It's just like death stares. Like you could hear the tumbleweed in the background. So awkward. Yeah. And then Frank then tries to like compensate almost with this like story about when they almost went to San Fran and they didn't, and showing baby photos and basically trying to like one up them in a way.
It's but really it awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, it just doesn't hit in the same way because there's no joint experience. It's just Frank telling a story. Like Ryan doesn't remember.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
Yeah, and Taylor's just talking like absolute shite about different kind of pies and desserts she can make. But Sandy seems to think that he's been won over.
Yeah, him and Ryan have cleared the table and they go into the kitchen.
Yeah.
And have this conversation.
People can change and they say, well, maybe when they've got terminal illness. And then, and this was quite well done because I feel that Sandy gets the phone call. And you're like, and I was trying to remember, I was like, is he ill? Because it could have went either, you know, as one of those, whatever the answer to this question is going to be, whether he's, you know, they're both as bad as each other. Either he's dying or he's lying about dying, which are both like,
there's no win in this situation.
What
is
the lesser of two evils? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Seth and Summer are heading to Vegas, but Seth says that he can't do this because he needs to ask her father's permission. Probably because he's hoping their father's going to be like, no chance.
Yeah. Right. Right. Summer kicks off on a very good and important speech about all the things she learned in women's rights, about how asking father for marriage, I would argue even wearing an engagement ring, is very much a symbol of ownership and of a man owning a woman when women were property and so on and so forth. And she's very much like, times have changed. It's not like that anymore. You don't need to ask my dad's permission. If that was the case, why didn't she, when he proposed, be like, you don't need to propose to me, even if I am pregnant, because it's 2007, 2008.
Whatever,
You know, we're a modern group. We don't need to do that.
Yeah, it doesn't. Again, lack of sort of like continuity.
no consistency.
But it's just, oh, I'm so bored. Let's like move on to the next scene.
Yes, agreed. Back at dinner, back to slagging off boys who do musicals. There is nothing wrong with boys who do musicals. If that is your jam, knock yourself out. Musicals are great.
Amazing.
I'm not the biggest musical fans, but musicals are good. Like Wicked, smashing. Wizard of Oz, smashing.
See, I didn't like Wicked.
Loved Wicked. Oh. Are you telling me Defying Gravity isn't on your running playlist? Because it should be.
I don't listen to music. I'm a book or a podcast gal. Because I can't zone out. If I've got music, I know when the song's going to end. And then I'll just be like, oh.
Fair.
Whereas like, I can really get lost in an audiobook or a podcast. I remember I used to actually listen to this when we started doing it because I would be so cringing and wincing at the sound of my own voice that I forgot about the actual process of running. So it was a really good distraction tactic.
I had an absolute nightmare when I was running home today. So my new run home in Leeds is only 2.7 miles, which is why I quite like it.
That's perfect.
So it's short and sweet. However, 1.5 of those miles is just uphill, solidly.
Oofed.
And it's bang. It's like the last two-thirds is just uphill the whole way, which is bad enough in itself. But my headphones decided to just stop right at the bottom of the hill. So I had to run up the hill with no music. And it was very sad. Much sadness.
Is there anything worse than, I can't run without anything?
No,
you know,
me
like
neither. See, when all you can do is listen to your voice, they are breathing.
Breathing,
it's just, it's too much, man. Anyway, musicals are great. People go and support the arts. Go and get back to a theatre when you can.
Yeah. But Sandy comes in and he's like, I want to chat to you, Frank. They go into the kitchen and Sandy's just like, why are you doing this? And then he's like, you're as healthy as a horse. And then he's basically like, look, you need to tell Ryan. I will. And he's like, it goes from like 0 to 100 so quickly. And it's brilliant. It's like great seeing Sandy, like so raging.
It's great. This is, This is why I thoroughly maintain that men shouldn't be allowed in positions of power, particularly within government. Because all that testosterone, man, it makes them a bit crazy, you know? Makes them a bit trigger happy, makes them a bit punchy, a bit raging. I mean, all those wonderful arguments they used to have against us as women being like, oh, they're too emotional. I'm like, nah, you're too angry. It works both ways. And this is exactly what happens. It's just a testosterone filmed, my dick's bigger than your type vibes.
Yep, and Sandy just totally loses it and punches Frank in the face. He gets an absolute belter. And then Ryan comes in and he actually has to break them up, and he takes Frank outside, and then Sandy's got to ice his hand because he's giving himself a sorgin.
Yeah, I just... Poor Ryan, he's been through so much. It's really unfair to put him through this as well.
It is. Yeah, and then we cut back to Harbour, where we've got Will and Caitlin. Yeah, she's like, oh, you're a geek, but you got me good with all with trick. And yeah, just a bit awkies, isn't it? And
it he really sort of is.
Asks her to do something, and she's like, no. And he's like, oh, I wasn't actually asking you to do something anyway. Just a lot of cheesy back and forth.
Yeah. Let's see what happens next time.
Yeah.
Okay, we cut to Ryan and Frank.
Yeah.
And it just very prominently has Frank saying, Ryan, it was just one lie.
One lie.
One lie about having terminal cancer, you absolute disgusting human being.
He is clutching at straws. Because I think he says at one point, he's like, this doesn't even make the top 10 lists of bad things I've done.
Good thing. Like, how is that defense?
It's awful. So yeah, he's like, look, just go. And he's like, it's too soon. And then he's like, nah. And Ryan's like, look, it's too soon for me. And then he gives him a hug and he's like, I'll call you.
Yeah. But all the things that Frank says, like, I wanted you to get to know me better so you can forgive me. I want to change. Like, Ryan knows that he's been sober for a long time. Like, I'm sure Ryan is like, look, I do want to give you a go. Like, but... It is too soon. In the same way that I don't think he should be going out with Taylor, it's too soon. This is what he's had too much going on, man. Give the lad a break.
Yeah, no, totally, totally right. He goes back inside and Taylor's waiting for him on the stairs. And she's like, oh, this was our like first family dinner and we went through it together. And she's just like, go hang with your family and I will see you tomorrow. So yeah, she's quite good at giving him space. Setting the boundaries. And then we've got Sandy icing his hand.
I love this. Like, I'm from the Bronx. Oh, yeah. You haven't said that in a while, Sandy. But yeah, he's like, I used to punch people all the time. Used to being the main part of that sentence. And he apologises to Ryan. Understandably so. That is such... Can you imagine after the years Ryan's had, having to find out your real father, your biological father, has terminal cancer, or at that point he thought he did, and then your adoptive dad punches him in the face.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Not okay, hun.
Nah.
But Ryan very lovely says, my dad is right here, and everyone gets the warm fuzzy mushy feeling, and it's lovely.
It's lovely. It's very cute. And yeah, then we cut to, so obviously who Frank has ran into Julie's arms to get some, just to moan basically, but she's just a bit like, well, you got caught lying about having cancer.
What is it she says? An absolute, like, that's a cracking line. If you get caught lying about cancer, you're going to get punched in the face. Yeah. That's the rules. Fair play.
He then is like, oh, Julie, here's your books. They're totally fine. He's basically figured out a way for Julie to launder her money. And she's like, oh, no, after New Year, like, I totally gave all that up. And Frank's like, oh, well, this is a good opportunity. Like, you can make a lot of money. You could buy that house here. She could be financially independent. And again,
Frank is not a good guy.
Nah, he's really not. And you can see the wheels sort of turning in Julie's head. And then they kiss.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, Seth appears home and the rest of the family are sitting on the sofa. And they're like, oh, what are you doing back? And he's like, oh, I need to go and visit Dr. Roberts in Seattle. Yeah. Doesn't say any more than that. And then they kind of fill him in on what's been happening. They all settle down to watch a film about a TV show about meerkats.
Yeah. They might have been like very in folk at the time. Who knows?
Yeah. Did you have this with your mum? Like, my mum never got to choose TV shows, which I always felt bad about. But then sometimes when she does choose TV shows, it's like, oh yeah, this is why you're never allowed to choose TV shows.
My mum's just really bad. If you're watching a film, we'll be like, oh, so what happened there? Like, she, yeah. And you're like, oh, this is murder.
I'm watching the same film as you. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Just watch it.
But this is like, I'm saying this to you. Stephen would, he does this all the time. Anything I complain about my mum, anything I say about my mum, he is like, you are the same person. You do the exact same thing.
Do you know what I've been getting into a lot of trouble for recently is we've been watching Homeland. Old school, I know.
Oh my God,
I find
love
it very, very stressful. Like, it's not a, you know, it's not a passive watch. It's very stressful. So I find myself a lot of the time I'll have Instagram on my phone to like ease the stress. I'll just be sitting looking at Instagram stories, living my best life, and then I'll have the audacity to be like, "Wait, who's that? What happened there?" And Ali will be like, "Well, you'd know if you just fucking watched it.
Came off your phone." Yeah, I get that all the time. Although sometimes, yeah, like you say, it can get too stressy, or I'm just like, oh, can't, yeah. Did you, off topic, but did you watch that show on BBC recently that finished yesterday, Sunday, Vigil?
I haven't. Yeah. My, one of my brother's best pals, Daniel, is in it.
Oh.
So I will give it a watch, but we're heavy in Homeland at the moment. And because I watch a lot of telly for work, I try not
too much.
Do you know what I would recommend if you've got all four? There's a documentary with Alice Levine called Sex Actually, and it is fascinating.
I think I saw you both posting about this, you and Ali. Yeah.
It's very, very, very good. Would recommend.
Right.
The socials for it are also great, but I'm very biased on that.
Right, we'll give it a go. That's where we sort of leave it, don't we?
We do indeed. Do you have a little listener of the week lined up?
Quite a lot of people have been getting in touch, Heather. It's like,
Do you want to do a doubler?
Yeah, so let's go. Da 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 da, listener of the week.
Da 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 da. I was very worried. I'm glad you took the lead there. I have had such a frog in my throat this whole episode. I don't think I could have got those.
No,
dulcet tones, I know. See, if I've now got the Rona, I will be absolutely livid.
Oh, I hope you don't.
I've lat flowed yesterday, good. So I should be fine.
Good, you're fine.
It's just a frog in my throat. It's okay. Yeah. Nobody panic. Sniff a candle.
But yes, so this week, I mean, we're getting close. There's only going to be so many more listeners of the week as we're nearing the end. But this week we have two listeners of the week. So first goes out to the lovely Beck. Beck just wanted to drop you a message from Melbourne, Australia, where we're still in a hard lockdown and have been on and off for 18 months. I've recently discovered...
They've had the longest lockdown in the world. It's so shit.
So shit. But she recently discovered the podcast and she's halfway through season one. Absolutely loving it and loving your take on one of my all-time favourite shows. You're providing a wonderful distraction in lockdown six. And listening to you guys is so uplifting at this time. Great for filling time while I'm stood down from my bookselling job.
Aww.
So thank you for the podcast. Cheers, Beck.
Thanks for the listens, Beck. Thank you. And thanks for like doing a job we love, selling books, because Jane and I love books.
We love books. We love a book.
I think that's probably the lamest thing I've ever said. We love books. We do love books. Remember when we used to be young and cool and now we're like, we love books.
Yeah. Second listener of the week goes out goes out to Christina Niasuper. Hi, I started listening to your podcast after listening to Welcome to the OC Bitches and needed something during long work road trips. Just drove 10 hours round trip and listened the whole way. Yeah, wow. And she's loving it. Currently on season 1, episode 14. You guys have me laughing out loud. I am a listener from the US in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Do you know what's wild is neither you're reading those listeners of the week. You chose those listeners of the week.
Yeah.
They don't and even know
not
who you
even,
are
they
yet.
Don't know, yeah.
You don't
they've
exist
not even got
yet.
To my annoying wee voice yet.
I don't even think they've got to you being a listener of the week yet.
Oh my
That's
gosh,
how
yeah.
much they don't even know you exist.
They don't know the Rainy Day Women.
They don't rainy. Oh man. Well, they're going to love you when they get to it.
Oh,
both
thanks.
You being on the podcast and, you know, you giving them listener of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, amazing. So, yeah, I think that wraps us up and we are now down to 7 episodes.
We are. Thanks so much for getting in touch, guys. If you, you're right, we are running out of slots for listener of the week. But if you'd like to get in touch, we love a chat at Never Seen the OC on Instagram. Jane's been doing most of the talking there, so you can chat to her. Yeah. I'll occasionally I've turned into old Kerry. I now just go in and have a little snoop about, have a bit of a read and then jump back out of there.
Love it. Love it.
Right, me and my froggy throat are away. Hopefully the frog will be gone next week.
Hopefully. On that decaf coffee.
On the decaf coffee. Are you going to wear your velour tracksuit again next week?
Maybe I might start wearing it. Oh, do you know, Stephen has got even better velour game. He's got these velour red fila joggies, which sound ridiculous, but they look mega comfy and they're really cool. But Stephen. Yeah, I might just start wearing the tracksuit. Constantly.
This is my co-host Jane. She only records in tracksuits.
Yeah, and I would never ever wear a tracksuit in real life. Like, I literally, this is probably the only loungewear I like own.
All right, so, Julie Cooper.
Yeah.
Right, see you next week, lads.
Bye.
Bye.